We're in Mark chapter 9 this morning. If you remember where we've been, we've just finished the disciples kind of squabbling over who's the greatest. And Jesus told them that the greatest among us is the one who is the servant of all. There are two kinds of church infighting. Oh, by the way, if you're somebody who's inclined to stoning people, for example, it would be a good couple weeks to take a vacation. Just saying. There are two kinds of infighting that happen in there's that we do amongst ourselves, the fights amongst ourselves as to who's the greatest, the kind where we let gossip run wild so that we look like we are really the greatest, the kind where people are jockeying for position for who's the greatest. There's that kind of infighting, but then the second kind is the kind that we do church to church. And the kind where we run down the ministries of other churches. And again, we're trying to figure out who's the greatest here. Where we talk about other churches badly so that we and our church looks better. Where we engage in competition and comparison. Where we can say, our church is really the greatest. It's the best. It's the top. And it's the second category that we're going to be looking at today. And we're in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and will soon afterward be able to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he had been cast into the sea." Now, fresh from the rebuke of Jesus, where the disciples had been fighting amongst themselves, now the disciples turn their ire outward. And the disciples are in front of Jesus, and they're reeling from the rebuke of their egos, but their egos have to find some place to go. And so the place that they find to go is all of them ganging up together to focus on somebody else. And so now they want to enlist Jesus' help in establishing their position over those who are outside of the rank of the 12. Those who are outside of the disciples, the 12. John says to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to prevent him." Why? Because he was not following us. And the disciples had seen somebody who had heard about Jesus, who had heard the message, who had understood the power, who believed, and who had used this newfound faith to go around and change the lives of the people around him. And the disciples didn't like this guy. We don't know why exactly. Maybe it was that it stung just a little bit that, you remember just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the disciples were unable to cast out a demon. Remember that? Now, here's this guy. He's going all around, and he's casting out demons in Jesus' name, and we don't even know who he is. So maybe they're a little stung by that. Or maybe they were just trying to protect their positions. You know, Jesus had stopped their argument about who's the greatest among them, but maybe as a whole, we can have some arrogance. Maybe as a whole, we are the 12, after all. We are the disciples. We are the greatest in that sense, aren't we? The collectively, the best disciples. Well, I don't know why they didn't like this guy, but whatever their reason is, they didn't like him. And so they tried to stop him. Now, apparently, they were unsuccessful. And this was kind of a test of their authority. Because they went to this guy and said, stop teaching. You're not following us. I think they were jealous of this guy's success. And so they tried to exert their power on him, and it didn't happen. It didn't work. And so what did they do? They go to Jesus to whine about it. They go to Jesus. They say, Jesus, you know, we tried to stop him. Are you going to help us? Are you going to stop him? They went to Jesus to try to get to step up the support of shutting this guy down. Now, let's make sure we understand what's happening here. The disciples are jealous because somebody else is succeeding in ministry. That's what's going on. This man is doing ministry in a way that they didn't approve of. In a way that they didn't think was right. And they felt like they needed to control the situation. They wanted everyone to be just like them and to follow after them. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be the greatest. Now, note here that this guy's not a heretic. We're not talking about some guy off the deep end. He's preaching the gospel, and he's casting out demons, and he's living this faith, the same faith that the disciples are living, just in a different venue. Aren't you glad that the things that happen in the New Testament really have nothing to do with what happens today? You know, it's so nice to just be able to study history and not really... Well, maybe it does sound a little bit familiar to me. You ever know churches that fall into that trap? Let me confess first. Whenever you get a bunch of ministers together, they're a dangerous group. When we come together, we all talk numbers, you know, and we compare and contrast our churches and what's going on, and we try to find ways to make our church look more successful than the other guy's church. And if there's somebody in the group who's really, really successful, church is growing like crazy or whatever, then whenever we get into smaller groups, we figure out ways to make their success somehow less faithful. You know, we say, oh, you know, they've got the numbers, but they don't have communion every week. Boy, they've got the numbers, but they don't believe the right thing about baptism. Or they've got the numbers, but they don't interpret the Bible like I do. They've got the numbers, but their worship is too modern. You know, they're growing, but they're just taking people from other churches. They're compromising their teaching somehow. We just try to figure out ways to make their success look like lack of faithfulness. And we turn in, like the disciples, we turn into a bunch of green monsters. Like the disciples, our ministry may be ineffective, but if it's ineffective, we don't want anybody to be more effective than we are. We're like bullies on the playground who can't, if they can't be the star on the team, they're going to take their ball and go home. And we expect Jesus to cave into our temper tantrum. Now, ministers are bad at that, but you want to know a secret? So are you. Church people do the same thing, you know, sometimes on a more local basis. Sometimes we ministers like to look at national churches and say, oh, you know, that Saddleback or whatever. But you might look at the church down the street and say, sure, they're growing, but they don't have the love that we do. That church just doesn't feel like a family like we do. You might look at the reason they're growing, they just keep taking people from other churches. And before long, the church just descends into a competition about who can have the largest attendance and who can baptize the most people and the most members and biggest youth group and best music and the truest doctrine. And it can actually become fairly cutthroat. And that's the church. And Jesus is asked by the disciples, can you stop them from doing the ministry? We don't like what they're doing. They're not following us. Now Jesus responds, verse 39. Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and soon Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. There's no room for this kind of competitive jealousy in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, leave this guy alone. He's doing ministry in my name. He's doing good ministry. It's God-authorized ministry. He's working in the name of Jesus. And I take that to mean that he's doing legitimate ministry. I mean, he's not. It's not ethically questionable. It's not false teaching. It's real ministry. And so the disciples have to receive yet one more rebuke. They have been behaving badly, and they've come to set Jesus straight. They are little kings who want to pass judgment on the ministry of other people. And they are pass judgments on these fellow servants. And Jesus doesn't like it. Jesus says, no one who does miracles in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Now, that's not a statement of impossibility, because obviously it is possible that that could happen, but it's a practical impossibility. A man casting out the name demons in the name of Jesus is not immediately going to turn on a dime. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, if you see a church doing the work of the kingdom, they're loving their neighbor and they're speaking Jesus and they're living like brothers and sisters, don't hinder them. They can't do the work of the kingdom of God one moment and undermine it the next. It's just not the way that it works. You can't advance the kingdom and hinder it at the same time. Then Jesus makes a statement. He who is not against us is for us. Now that's a little bit difficult to understand, especially if you're a student of the Bible and you know that there was a point in Matthew where Jesus said it kind of the opposite. He said, he who's not with me is against me. You know, but all I can say here is that this Markan statement, this Markan passage, deals within a sphere of ministry. These are people who are doing ministry on the same side. These are all believers here. This is, Jesus is saying there are two sides, with us and against us, and believers are with us. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, Matthew is dealing with it on a little different level. He's demanding that people make a choice. He's saying you can't accidentally become a Christian. You have to make the choice to become a Christian. If you're not with us, then you're against us. If you haven't decided to follow, then you've decided not to follow. So it's two different things. But Mark is talking about people who've already made that choice, people who are already on the same side. So let's bring this to Hillsboro. And this is where this all gets a little bit controversial. We're on the same side as the other churches in our community. The enemy is not First Baptist Church. The enemy is not the Charismatics. The enemy is not the Church of God or the Lutherans. We're on the same side. We wear the same uniform. Although some of their uniforms have these little... Never mind. Ministry is not a competition. Ministry is service to the Master. The Lord has made this crystal clear to me over the last 20 years. And in ways that I was not all that thrilled with sometimes. God's helped me see sometimes through the smoke screens that we all put up to see the common ground that we have as churches, as believers. And I have many times in previous ministries and even a few times since I've been here visited with people for whom this church was not a good fit. And I've said to them, you know, I have a friend who pastors First Baptist Church. He's a godly man. It's a good church. Give it a try. I have another friend who pastors this Bible church, and he is as deep as they come. Give them a try. If Singing Hills isn't a match for you, then I have this friend who's an elder at this multi-ethnic church in Beaverton, and it is it's a fantastic church. In fact, if I didn't come to Singing Hills, that might be where I went. You might give that one a try. You see, it is more important for us to be followers of Jesus than it is to be members here. You know, I want you to come to Singing Hills. I want you to be a part here. I want to personally be an influence in your life. I want that. But if this place isn't for you, that doesn't mean the kingdom is not for you. It doesn't mean that the church is not for you. If this church doesn't fit you, let me help you find one that does, because we are all on the same side. And we need to be holding each other up and supporting other Christian ministries rather than just tearing them down. When we tear down legitimate ministries, we are missing the bigger picture. And by the bigger picture, I mean the kingdom of God. We're missing it. We're missing the real church. We're missing that we're in a fierce battle in this world, and it is against the forces of this present darkness, not against each other. Our job is pressing back the night. Our job is carrying the light. Our job is hard enough just facing the enemy. We don't have to fight amongst ourselves. We don't understand that the battle is going to leave us weary. This is a difficult place in which we live. And discipleship is hard. And it will leave us weary. And we need each other. Discipleship is far more serious than we can imagine. Look at verse 41. Whoever gives you a cup of cold water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Jesus is telling the disciples that there will be a day that you are going to need the help of this guy. Discipleship will exact a price. It will leave you thirsty and dry, and it will leave you in need, and he'll give you a drink. I think the disciples were overestimating their own ability to do ministry, their own ability to do discipleship. They think they have enough strength to make it happen. And Jesus is telling them, you're wrong. You don't have that. We need the body to make our ministry effective. You need people like this guy. We have to understand this concept. Discipleship is hard, and we need each other. And, you know, being a Christian is not easy. There's temptation out there. We have battles with the enemy. There's burnout. There's discouragement. We all face that stuff. But we need our brothers who will come alongside us and give us a drink when we are dry. We need them. That's why the church is a community, not just this church, but the church is a community, because we need each other. We help one another. There will come a day when you will be in need, and someone from another church in Jesus' name will offer you refreshment simply because you are a member of the body of Christ. And that water will save you, and their action will be rewarded by God. Because we're fellow servants. We're on the same side. As much as we need to be ready to be helped by other believers, also, we carry water with us. And there are people all around us, fellow followers of Jesus, who struggle with the same things we do, whose discipleship is the same as ours. They need the encouragement of the body of Christ. And guess what? We're the ones with the water. And we have a responsibility to give that water to them. We are the bearers of water. The disciples, I'm not sure they were quite ready to hear that. It must have stung a little bit. John and the others had seen this man engaged in ministry, and instead of encouraging him, they discouraged him. And they tried to throw a wrench in his ministry and to stop him from doing what he was doing when they should have helped him. They took this competitive spirit to crush him just because his ministry was different than theirs. Now, Jesus drives the point home a little bit deeper. He just finished telling the disciples that it was their job to receive children. You remember that? The least among us. It was their job to be a servant. And he took this child and he held him in his arms. He just said positively, if you want to, that you need to give a cup of water. So he's just said this positively. Now he's going to hit it negatively. Look at verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he had been cast into the sea. So Jesus says it positively, but he wants to make no mistake. The consequences for our competition with other churches, with other Christians, is grave. If we destroy, Jesus says to the disciples, if you destroy this man's faith with your competitive jealousy, then you will suffer eternally. If you destroy this man's work and his ministry because you can't handle someone else's success, you ought to be drowned in the sea. If Jesus were speaking to the church today, he would say, we ought to take you out and shoot you. Just as one who offers the refreshment to the body, who offers water to those who are thirsty, will not lose his reward, the ones who destroy the body will not miss out on the judgment. In fact, it all actually goes back to verse 40, where Jesus says, if they're not against us, they're with us. And when we stand against the church, when we stand against people who are working in Jesus' name, we stand against Christ. So before you stand up to take pot shots at the church or at another believer, before you do that, drink this in. We have a responsibility to encourage those people. Now, one of the things that I absolutely love about the Christian church, and the reason that I'm a pastor in a Christian church and not something else, is that I love our history. The Christian church had their beginnings in absolute harmony with this passage. That the Christian church looked around and they readily acknowledged that we were not the only Christians out there. And they said, what we want to do is we want to build a fellowship that's based solely on following Christ. But somewhere along the way, things slipped a little bit. And the Christian churches and the churches of Christ became dogmatic. And some actually believed that they were the only ones going to heaven. It was the exact opposite of what we began. I went to a revival one time. I may have told you this. And the speaker at the revival said, the greatest mission field that we have, and he pointed, he said, is that Baptist church. That guy needs a millstone tied around his neck. We have become critics of the rest of the church, and we're the ones, oftentimes we're the ones going to Jesus and demanding, stop that guy. He's not doing ministry like we do ministry. I want to repent of that. That's not who we are. Let's take the millstones off of our necks. And let's instead be the kind of people and the kind of community that will take water to our community. That will take life to them. Let us be the ones to be quick to serve, not to judge. Let us set the pace in this community. Let us set the pace among Christians. Let us be the best. Just kidding. Let us set the pace among the Christian community for unity. Let us again believe that we are not the only Christians. And let us corporately support the work of Christ in the world. Whoever's doing it, let us publicly express our support for area churches and for area ministries and the things that they're doing. You know, we differ doctrinally from other churches. That's true. But as long as a church is doing the work of the Lord, Jesus says they can't both advance the kingdom and hinder it at the same time. Let's give them a cup of water when they're dry. I think it goes without saying, but as we encourage that corporately, I want to also encourage it privately. Personally, that even amongst us, you might have noticed we're different people. you might have noticed there are a number of different people who are involved in ministry around here, and they have different ideas and different personalities. 300 plus people that make Singing Hills their home. Lots of ministries with share groups and worship and fellowship and all those kinds of things. You're not going to mesh with all of them. That's a fact. And you can't. But let's each determine today that as much as it is in us, that our job will not be to discourage them, but our job will be to give them water. If there's a ministry that you don't care for, it's not your style, it's not how you would do it, it's not getting the results you want, encourage them. Don't discourage them. Because by your critical spirit, you may discourage someone from following Christ. And you may cause them to stumble and fall. And God forbid you do that. Because the consequences are grave. Instead, be the encourager. Be the one who gives refreshment. And you will not lose your reward. So let's look around our community. Let's look around our church. Let's hand out some water. Let's stand.